Forever Dog.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong.
Hey.
Ding dong.
Hey.
Ding dong.
Hey.
Wow. All together.
Yeah. Tootie.
Tootie, tootie, tootie. The four of us are all in our own particular states of being.
Four friends who sometimes get together and get around a podcast, and it's almost like the sisterhood of the traveling pants with no pants.
They get around a podcast.
Okay, let's just
The girls are back in town. Okay, Kevin, you just turned me all the way down. Why am I wearing headphones at this point?
Okay, I was trying to turn myself a little bit down.
But when you put... Okay.
All right, well, listen...
Hey, this, it's Kat.
How do we feel right now?
I feel like
psycho.
About
sound levels.
Well, I just couldn't hear even
a
word.
It's way too loud for me.
And it's too loud
guys,
for you.
Guys, it's you just follow the chords. Okay, so Kat, you're three.
I'm three.
All right, this is
so
good.
Kat's three. Jesus. We're cutting all of this.
I never wanted to deal with technology today.
If I get any louder, I will deafen, and I can't because I need to hear myself for my singing.
And then Matt is four. So are you good, Matt?
I am unwilling.
Would you rather go down?
I'm unwilling to touch any of the buttons because I don't want this to continue.
Okay, fine. All right.
I have the worst hearing of my family.
I want us to do...
And of my chosen family.
Okay. I want us to do a quick check-in just to see where we're at because I think we all are in very vulnerable state.
Totally. And we have to be honest about the fact that Bowen's not wearing headphones because we can't find a piece of equipment.
It's fine.
But we have to be honest about it.
I didn't even notice. And that's how head in my own ass I am.
I feel like it's very Bowen Yang to like throw himself on the coals and just not wear headphones for this.
Last time he didn't want the padded chair.
I know.
Oh my god.
This time I do have the armrests, but I have the tripod.
That's a tripod.
Okay, Pat, you just got off a bus.
I just got off a bus.
The first thing he said to me was not hello. Was I'm not in a good mood.
And I said, don't act like I'm in a good mood. This is what I'll say about buses. They're one of my least favorite vehicle. Actually, one of my least favorite vehicle that is known to man, or that's this in use today and in wide use today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think I'll snap. I just am feeling really overwhelmed with my schedule right now. I just had to go. I just went to Syracuse, which was fun, and I celebrate all those that I came into contact on that trip with. Yes. On that trip. Mm-hmm. Then I'll go home for a second, and then I have to nanny 2 days for 10.5 hours a day, Monday, Tuesday.
That's a lot.
It's going to be brutal.
What about tomorrow?
Tomorrow I have familial obligations for Easter. My Christ has risen.
Your Christ has risen.
I have to acknowledge that.
Yeah, Pat, I just want to ask you, does it cost you anything to just... say hello and then get into how you're in a bad mood?
Yeah, does that cost you anything?
Oh my god.
Because it costs me everything.
That's not how our family does it.
We really barrel in.
When we see each other, we're in it already.
Okay, all right.
It's in media. It's in media.
In media res.
In media res.
And Paley Media Center for
Paley
film
Media
and TV.
Center. Kat, you're doing great.
I feel a little reckless. I have a Reformation dress sort of slipping off my shoulders.
I love it.
I'm feeling a little romantic.
Oh. You know what? I like it draping.
Thank
the shoulders.
You. I'll let them drape tonight. Okay. I'm excited for the show.
Wow. It's going
to
be great.
I actually almost started crying when I walked in here because to see you two for the first time in some calendar years.
A long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Was overwhelming. That's beautiful. And Matt, how are you?
Well, I don't live here anymore. I live somewhere else. In fact, I'm wearing a jersey that says LA on it. It was $90 because I have currently do have $1 million in my bank account and I spend money like that's true. What am I doing? I don't know. I'm fresh off a flight from Los Angeles. I came in for the show. Sometimes something I'll do is I'll just go somewhere for a weekend.
Wow.
When you have a 9-to-5, Monday through Friday, you can do things like that. You really have to make sure your weekends are counting.
Yes. I think I speak for all of us when I say you've changed.
Matt has gotten a job.
$1 million.
I don't know. My skin looks really good. I've been hooking up with a lot of boys in LA. Mm. One thing I have to say is that no one knows how to kiss.
No
one knows how to kiss. Everyone uses their teeth first. It's very teeth forward.
You have to be careful with teeth. But can I say something?
Yeah.
No. I want to really get to each person's permission before I even speak a word.
You have our permission.
Someone once told me that it might have been Catherine or it might have been a Catherine type person.
No, there is no such thing.
And
wait, I'm sorry, repeat that?
Someone once told me something and it might have been Catherine or it might have been a Catherine type person. But there is no such thing.
Thank you.
God broke the mold when he invented good Catherine Cohen.
God must have spent a little more time on you.
Someone said that there's no such thing as a bad kisser or a good kisser. It's just chemistry.
Someone tried to tell me that, and I said, I don't think so.
No, that's
maybe true. I tried to tell you that.
No.
Everyone stop.
It's the, what is it's that? The
it's the
machine.
Coffee. Pat demanded Emma make coffee.
I'm unable to do this without caffeine.
Okay.
I was not a demand. I said, Emma, would you mind making coffee? You're painting me as a Ramona.
I don't know. It was pretty Bethany of you to come in here and we say, hey, Pat. And you go, I'm in a bad mood. In fact, that's literally a line Bethany said earlier in the season.
If I knew that expressing my feelings to my friends was going to turn them against me in this way, in this public way, I never would. I would have just put on a,
you know what?
I would have put on a face. I would have walked in and I would have said, I won't be real today.
You know what? Find another Catherine type person.
Oh my God. Can we stop already with everyone ganging up?
Now, I will say definitively, and I'm the expert on this, there are bad kissers.
Yes.
And I do not need to taste your whole tongue.
No, I don't need your whole tongue in my mouth, down my throat. In fact, I don't even need it as like a little snack midway through the hookup. I don't need to be surprised by like your tongue all the way down my mouth. I don't need to know you can do that. I know you can do that. Don't do it.
I like tongue.
The worst, it goes overboard.
I'm sorry about the coffee. Now I feel bad.
It's fine. No. Can you please let me finish my sentence?
I'm beat red. I'm beat red already.
You're actually pale. And
bitch!
You look Syracuse pale. And it really Syracuse reads pale. When I look at you that you've been in Syracuse.
People have been telling me that I've gotten color.
Oh, that's good.
Who's been telling you that?
Who's been telling you?
I don't or someone said that to me.
Fucking idiot Sonia types.
Someone said that towards me. Bowen, I want you to express yourself.
It's not gonna land.
Who cares if it lands? This isn't Saturday Night Live. Not every joke has to land. You can try things here.
Everything is Saturday Night Live.
I didn't mean land. I just mean that it's not. Well, now it's like we're so
Bowen,
far away.
I want you to
say what you mean.
It's bad kissing when if the sides of my mouth are wet and dripping in your spit.
Yeah.
That's bad. And you've left a mess. And how dare you?
That feeling.
Everyone go around saying one word that's good kissing, one word that's bad kissing.
Okay.
I want to go last.
Honestly, for me, deep.
It's good.
Deep, like you can, like, no, I like to, like, smell the person.
Ooh.
Like, I like romance. I like to feel like it's a moment. I like to feel like I could like potentially look across the bridge and someone might be taking a picture of me. Our song is a scream and scream door. Sleeping out late. Oh, my window.
Okay, and then bad. Quick bad.
A quick bad.
Bad teeth, tongue, destruction, chaos, murder.
Okay.
Our song is a scream and scream door. Scream door. Okay, for me, good is hands.
Yes. Ooh.
Bad is squaw.
Wow. Do I go before me, Vaughn?
Yeah, no.
Do you have?
I have. Do you want me to go before you?
I would you to go before me.
Okay. Good, actually, slow.
Yeah. Me too, slow. And I love it, deep.
And the bad. Tortoise and the hare, a famous, famous
kissing analogy.
Story.
Yeah.
Fable.
Tortoise and the hare.
Oh.
I have a huge problem with that story,
hands
though.
In the hair.
Slow and steady wins the race to Bowen Yang's hole.
And bad is... Bad is wet around the skin.
Oh my God!
Keep the wetness in my mouth.
Yeah, keep it in my mouth, honey.
That's so crazy. I never should have you go first because I was gonna say wet for bad, but
I said wet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You never should have let me go first. Okay, go.
Yeah. Do your homework. Yeah,
do your homework. Okay, I know. I know it's so fun to absolutely drag me straight to hell.
No one has. No you one came has. Here and were upset with us.
Look at me. My hands are in the air. My weapons are down. I came in here, weapons down.
Look at me. I would never get mad at you for being in a bad mood.
I'm in a great mood right now.
I know. I love. And look at me. I feel like I have to say that. I love you.
Okay.
You're mine, and I love you.
And Pat, look at me. No one was mad at you for being in a bad mood. Mm. I was posing a question to you to see if it was conversationally okay for you to say hello first when someone says hello back.
And Pat, look at me. You don't check in with me enough now that I'm in another state. And
that's
the fact
not
that
true. I had a long text conversation with you.
It was moderate length.
I had a long text conversation with
and
you.
And Catherine checked in with me, never.
That's not true. We have FaceTimed.
Matt.
Once.
Twice.
Catherine once. And I had a nice text conversation recently.
Yes, we did, because I was thinking about you and feeling goo-goo.
Oh.
Now, Pat, what are your words?
Good is soft for me, and good for me also is humpy. And bad for
I like humpy too.
I think I like humpy's kind of fun. Hard. I kind of like a little bit of hard.
No, I like when the lips are actually so soft that it feels like, I like when it's a soft lip.
Oh.
Ooh, when they have nice soft lips.
And okay, I'm going to say this. For me, bad is pointy.
Mm-hmm.
Like with a tongue.
Jab.
I don't mind a tongue, but I want a soft tongue. I want I want a pointy tongue jabbing at me.
Yeah, like, of course.
I think it's just like, you know, like chemistry can't be explained. Sometimes with a certain type of person, you can grab me and say, I'm doing this to you. Other times, it's more of a communication, more of a dance.
I'm so horny.
Me too.
Because I want to apologize for how I came into the studio.
That's okay. No.
You don't owe me anything.
We did not set you up for an apology. I just want to make that very clear. You do not have to.
I know.
But I know thank you.
But it cost me nothing to do that.
It cost you nothing. Okay, this is C Culture. This is our advice hour little crossover event.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for submitting your questions. Thank you for submitting your questions for our last episode. There is a quick matter order of business that we follow up with EC.
There's a dangling thread from the last episode. And if you don't remember what happened on the last episode of C Culture, well, Pat Regan absolutely dragged to hell a young fan listener from Dallas, Texas. And then Bowen Yang and I knocked him out or KO'd him in Mortal Kombat terms by canceling our show in Dallas. So absolutely very upset.
Oh, no.
Cancel culture.
We canceled. Cancel culture has made its way to Dallas, Texas.
And we canceled ourselves.
Wait, why did you cancel?
It's just not working out with our schedules.
It wasn't working out.
With your schedules.
With our schedules. But EC came to us with a question about trying to expose his boyfriend to more culture because they were not a cultural match.
Yes.
And so, and then Pat accused him of performing cultural elitism.
Yeah. As an 18-year-old gay man in Texas.
19. He's a soft, at least.
Okay.
Soft, at least. But so basically, this is EC setting us a follow-up.
I love EC.
Scram and scream, bro.
Scram and scream.
What's
our song is a scramming, scream dog.
Oh my god! Wait, by follow up, do you mean that he sent another message, or we're just sort of addressing this again?
No. Well, that and he did send us another email, which I will read to you right now.
We asked him to call back in and respond to Pat.
Okay, yes.
Oh my god.
So this is EC's follow up. Hello, C Culture panel. It's EC again. Uh-huh. First, I appreciate all your advice and wisdom, so thank you. Second, I'd like to address my new frenemy, Pat. I will say I did come off as performing cultural elitism. And I want culture elitism, and I want you to know I'm not too much of a huge snob. Yes, I do feel strongly about my tastes, but I just needed ways to get my boyfriend to see the fun in my hobbies and interests.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I've been surprised by both of us lately. It just took a sec to realize, but we share more interests than we thought. Just took exposure. He loved the Contemporary Art Museum, and turns out I sort of love frat parties. Oh, so in the end, Team EC and Pat were both right, and that's... .. beautiful/touching/life.
Wow. That's gorgeous.
I would also like to address that with 19 in Texas, it isn't all that hard being gay. I actually just organized a campus LGBT+ reprom event, so kind of thriving. We went to Alamo to enjoy the cheese on the broccoli immediately after listening to the ep. Here we are listening to Pat drag me in total shock. We heart see culture. That's EC, and then that's his...
Oh my god.
Let me see.
Boyfriend.
They're so cute.
They're very cute.
They look so young.
Oh my god. They're so cute.
I
have to say, like, maybe this is me being like, oh, look, and they said we love C Culture.
Oh,
that's
very
amazing.
Maybe
thank
this
you.
Is me being like, I don't know, like talking down to young people, but I thought that email was very well spoken, and I don't know if I at 19 years old could have like gotten it that much.
Yes.
He gets it, EC.
Yeah, I heard a lot of growth in his story today. I think that's great. I wasn't actually mad. I just was being on a podcast.
I wasn't actually mad. I was just
want to go on the record
as
saying I like snobs and I'm sexually attracted to snobs. So I don't know if that does anything for anyone, but.
Am I a snob? You're a snob.
I'm a snob.
But you have to like good things to be a snob.
But
you went
also...
to the museum today.
Yeah, honey.
Oh, what did you think of Helma?
Je dude.
Oh my god, wait, phone case, Helma.
Oh my god.
Oh, Helma
my
phone
god.
Case.
Helma's amazing.
Helma's amazing.
What's that?
I know.
Helma off Clint, she was a pioneer, although no one knew it, of abstract art, and all of her the themes that she explored in her work aligned with Mondrian, but no one saw her work until the 80s because she died in the 40s, and she said, I don't want any of this work to be shown until 20 years after I've died. And she received visions from spirits that she, one day her work would be put in a circular temple, the Guggenheim.
Oh my God.
And so it's
I actually, that's funny because I actually am doing that with my pilots. I've actually written,
I was going to say that
I've
my
actually
tweets.
Written 12 to 16 pilots, but I don't want anyone to see them until 20 years after I die because of what I've been told by spirits and I can't act this time.
Where will your
anymore.
Pilots be displayed?
Yes, where will they be displayed?
They will be displayed in a heptagonal shaped temple. And it's going to be everything.
Will it be epic?
It might even be epic, and there might even be a staged reading.
Oh, I can't wait.
I love that. Wow. I love that.
Wow.
Well, should we check in about our diseases?
Oh my God, our diseases.
Our diseases.
I think we all probably all have new diseases at this point.
Yeah, probably.
I do.
Oh, wait. Okay, who wants to start? You go, Matt?
Okay, do you want to know my disease?
Yeah.
All right, so my disease is I have a lot of new, like, friends in LA, like a lot of new girlfriends.
Wow, what a cancer.
We've yet to hear something that was not a brag come out of Matt Rogers' mouth this episode. Oh,
no, I'm just, okay, can I rephrase? Because you're right. I'm being absolutely insufferable.
No, you're not.
All right, so listen, so I've relocated. And I, for the time being, stop. You guys are fucking bullies and dragging.
I'm laughing because I'm having a good time with my friends.
Yes.
Is that allowed?
Am I allowed?
Okay, so now I'm trying to make new friends for while I'm in another sit.
Yeah.
And so, base, I have, you know, met a bunch of new people. And here's the thing, when you meet a bunch of gay guys, everyone's always like, what is this? What is the relationship? Is it going to be sex? Is it going to be friends? Is it going to be the sniffing butts up and down? And I am just having a problem with my disease is I feel that I am potentially maybe even being too sex forward with my disease. Oh. And sometimes...
to quote you, with my diseases, I feel.
I've...
Like, I don't know. I feel like I don't know what...
Keep talking.
The butt stepping is a thing, I will say. And I will say that it's better be more... I've been known to spend upwards of 2 hours in Sweet Green when I later found out it was just a platonic hangout at Sweet Green on the upper
and the
west
thing
side.
Is I feel like any of these things could go either way, and the whole time I feel the tension of like what is it and it's hard for me to sometimes even have a conversation with someone because I'm so preoccupied in my mind of like what is this do you like me? Mm-hmm, I might like you, I might not, in fact I don't, yes I do. And I'm just like so crazy because I think I'm craving something now that I feel like busy professionally, like I feel like pretty good about like the stuff I'm doing. What I'm not preoccupied with is like career stuff. What I'm preoccupied with is like dating and sex stuff, and I feel a little cuckoo-loo-loo.
Do you want to be dating someone?
I think I do.
Whoa. That's sort of new
this
for
is a
you
big deal.
Don't you
it is
think
kind of I would like to really like someone who really likes me.
Till as old as time. My
scram
disease
and scream door.
Scram and scream door. My disease is I'm finally, per Pat's request, alone. And it's been hard. Like, I've been having to force myself to sit at home and sit and live with myself. A lot of baths, a lot of journaling, a lot of poetry writing, serious poems. But I would never show you. And the other thing is, like, I get a little frustrated sometimes because I'm only... I don't know where I would even meet a straight guy to kiss.
Yep.
Like, I just don't even know.
Three words. Lower East Side.
But is that just like, frat?
Not necessarily.
It's sort of like a cross-section of every like, bombastic straight male who would, like, go out. I mean, you would, like, meet someone... I don't know, but I don't mean to like reductively be like, just go to this neighborhood.
No, you're right. My disease, which is a good disease to have, is that I'm finally at a place in my life where I know that like calling any old Lower East Side person to come over isn't going to make me feel better.
I know.
And it
I
actually know. Might make me feel worse. It won't. It used to be momentary.
Yes.
Momentary?
Momentary.
Momentary. Momentary. It used to be momentary.
It used to be momentary relief. And now it's actually offers no relief. And now my only relief is when I wake up and I know that I have not
eaten late or done anything stupid. And yeah. that's the only relief.
100%. And after hooking up a bunch in LA, I was where you were now. And yeah. now I am having the opposite reaction where I'm like, I'm not like, let's be alone. I'm like, let's do it more.
Yeah.
And that's driving me nuts, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your disease, Pat?
I don't know. Last time we said each other's diseases. What is my disease? I don't know what my disease is right
Your
now.
Your disease right now is like,
it's priorities. It's self-sabotage.
It's I think like, it's priorities, Pat.
It's I'm sabotaging myself a lot right now. I feel overwhelmed and I feel I don't want to show up for things.
I think your disease also is that you're actually being a little hard on yourself and not realizing that you're actually doing really well right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And like you have a lot of you actually now have a lot of the things you've been wanting. And
that's
you
true.
Enjoy it.
That's true. I actually have to remember.
And
that.
I'm not just talking about love, I'm talking about life.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, Pat, I think sometimes these things that overwhelm you, I think sometimes it's the way you're thinking about them. I think some of the things could be fun. Like I think like sitting down to write something that you like could be fun.
It is.
Don't be insane.
Yeah, I know. I have been writing.
No, don't anyone tell me writing is fun.
No, I actually have a great time doing it.
Look, I have been writing.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Now I've heard everything.
I'm not talking about writing when I say that. I'm talking about other stuff.
Okay.
Like what?
Just like schedule stuff. Like,
well, can I? Because I had a feeling this was what. Because it sounds like you have schedule anxiety that you're overwhelmed
yeah,
with.
That's what.
Stuff.
Yes.
And this is the thing, Pat. Like, any belief that you have about your like load. Is like, I mean, yes, like there are like actual,
I have so many beliefs about my loads.
There are actual limits
are
to like how much.
Tasty.
Let me hear Bowen's advice about my disease.
I'm sure there are like actual like limits to like how much you can do in one day, but also like you believing yourself to be overwhelmed is like kind of an invention.
So maybe it's like self-invented. Maybe I have Munchausen's and I think I'm overwhelmed.
Stop, that's not.
I know.
You are, I'm sure you are overwhelmed.
No,
but also,
I'm
like,
not.
But like, I mean, try to imagine.
I feel burnt out. I feel so not funny right now. I just,
well,
yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I think like.
What? You guys are killing it right now.
No, I just
stop.
I want to take a big load tonight.
Take a big load. I would love a big
honestly,
load tonight.
Honestly, I'm almost definitely going to bust a load tonight.
Really?
Are you going to hook someone?
Up? I don't care who it is.
Do you have someone coming to the show in mind?
Hordes of them.
Oh my God. Oh, it isn't fair.
Wait, Catherine, why don't you stick around tonight? There's going to be lots of straight guys that I don't think so.
Exactly. You
What's
laugh
that?
In my face.
I heard you had a fun weekend, DC.
Oh, yeah, it was
a little
okay.
birdie told me.
You what?
DC?
Yeah.
Who told you?
A little birdie.
That's a birdie in this room?
Wait,
no,
did you?
A
were you kissing?
Out in the world.
A birdie out in the world, huh?
I heard you were kissing from a birdie.
Yeah.
Wait, who which
this
birdies?
A birdie.
I had a fun little DC birdie.
Whatever.
What's DC?
District of Columbia.
Oh, the place?
Yes.
We actually both had fun birdies that trip. Or not birdies. We had fun tryst that
we
trip.
Had, sure.
But my birdie apparently hasn't traveled to Pat and Kat's ears.
Oh. No, I didn't hear that. I only heard that about Bowen's.
I think your disease, going back to Pat's disease, try to imagine yourself like maybe not feeling overwhelmed.
I know. You're right. Yeah. I just feel like every time I start doing something, I have to stop doing it and go to my next thing. And I don't like it.
Wait, we have to shout out Tammy Sager because she recommended a book to me called Steering by Starlight. And it's very new agey, kooky language, but the writer is very self-aware about it and has a very fun sense of humor about it. And it's actually, I hear Tammy on every single page and it's like really being, it's a very helpful tool right now. The message is like, pretend like you've already won
in
any situation.
My God.
And it's not delusion. It's actually like a helpful way to like melt away any kind of like invented belief that you have.
I also feel I kind of was just saying that too because I don't feel particularly afflicted by disease right now.
Oh.
That's right? Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel afflicted
your
by disease.
Your disease is that you are not
diseased.
Yeah. What's your disease, Bo?
I might actually have that same disease as Pat does.
Wow.
I don't know. Well,
we
also
had the same disease last time too.
Did we?
Similar disease. Different strains of the same disease.
Same ward, honey. Yeah. I think I'm just I'm horny all the time. I'm clinging.
That's different.
Oh, no. Well, I'm clinging to an old thing.
Yes, yes.
In my romantic past, and I have not really let it go.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When we were at the Rosemont recently.
Yes.
I accidentally looked over your shoulder to see and saw you texting. And I was like,
oh my God.
He's already gone to an old thing.
And that's even a different thing.
Wow.
That you saw me texting.
Who are you holding?
Who am I holding?
What little birdie?
What little birdie?
What little birdie holding?
Like this is kind of like two things that are happening at the same time.
Anyway, I want to be clear that I've never let anyone go and I've never gotten over a single person in my life.
Thank you.
It's impossible because it's crazy. Love too deeply, too much, too hardly.
Yes.
Too deeply, hardly, too much, madly, too hardly. Deeply.
What? Hardly, madly, deeply.
Oh my God.
I think it's time to get into the emails.
I know. I have questions. Like, I need help.
You need, no, stop it. Stop it. This is our role. Mm. As Pat so eloquently put on his Twitter, We are sister wives too, and our husband is the audience,
the collective listener,
and it's the wife's job to give the husband advice.
That's my job. Yeah.
And so
before we begin, I just want to say that anyone listening that I've been involved with, I'm 100% over you.
Wow. Wait, tell me about, just quickly, are you interested in one person in particular in loss?
I think it's going to be a different person that I'm interested in every 2.5 days.
Wow.
But you want someone
serious.
I don't think I want someone serious. I want to be having consistent fun with one other person because the whole bouncing around, one day we're one thing and then the next day you act weird. Like, I don't want to do the games. Truly, I don't want to
do the games. Consistent fun.
Consistent fun. But it's also a disease in people in L who are just like that.
I don't think it is specific to people in L that have this. I think it's when you go to a new city, you can see it all clearly. I think people from L come to N and then they say, oh gosh, what is this? And I think people from C, of course, Columbus, would go to somewhere like C, of course, Chicago, and they would say the same thing. And of course, people in D, of course, Dallas, would go to D, of course, Des Moines.
You're saying hookup culture is just different and there's no value statement on either one.
I would say that here's my academic... my academic way of saying it. I think the patriarchy is affecting the gay community in a crazy way because I think that we all are in this middle area of being Buddha judges where it's like, I'm going to be like a perfect little, like have my little relationship and it's going to be perfect and we're looking for that. And then like there's no gray area with other relationships. And then otherwise it's like, no, I just want to fuck all the time. And people are scared or like upset because they're fucking all the time. So it's hard to find a middle ground because there's no like precedent for it in the gay community. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I can't.
This is insane.
I know.
It's confusing.
Are you having
nicotine gum?
Pat just gave me the nicotine. I don't know how this.
One time my boyfriend Nessa have it, and I gave it, and he threw up from it, and so we always refer to it as the time he OD'd early on in our relationship.
Oh my God, that's really funny. This is crazy. Yeah. That's the craziest thing I've ever put in my mouth.
I know. I had to work up to this level.
Oh my God, you guys,
I know it's bad. That my disease is nicotine addiction. And it's funny, I'm specifically having nicotine cessation products. And so I need nicotine cessation. And that's something they call a double.
A double.
And I need to figure
animal
out.
Style.
Oh. Animal style.
It's a Bear Burger thing.
No, it's In-N-Out.
Oh.
Fuck you.
I should have known.
Tensions are H right now.
Yeah, wait, why?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I finally just unwinded.
I know.
Matt, you're tense now.
I am.
Why?
I don't know.
It's because I didn't understand what you said about Buttigieg.
It's literally 3% that.
What's their 90s have?
I don't know. I'm figuring out every second along with everyone else.
Tell us where it's going.
I feel the tension. Is this a lot of silliness coming from over
here? No, it is a moment of distraction.
I give him a neck.
No, I feel, I guess my tension
but
is,
sorry before
I guess
that.
My tension is that like, okay, I'll be real about my tension.
Yeah, be real.
I'm in L and it's like hard because it's like, you know, you're trying to like fit in. And then you come back here in N, and it's like, oh, God, do I still fit in?
Into N?
Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I know
it's
what
like
you mean.
I'm in a bizarre, like, transitional moment, and I'm just like, oh, God. Like, it's like, also, I'm off a plane, you guys.
You definitely still fit in N.
You fit
well,
in.
Well, yeah, I know that. But it's like, okay, so another thing is, like, I don't perform anymore at all, and that is, like, truly my lifeblood, and it's like, why am I not? And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, I feel insane.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And also, truly, the relationship thing, it's not even that I want a relationship, it's that I want to figure out what my relationships are, because in N, all my relationships, like, are what they are.
Your friends.
And so now I'm, like, out in L, and it's like, what is any of this? Yeah. I guess I'll figure it out. But it's hard because I'm crazy.
Well, I think you should. This is what I think you should do. This is my medicine for your disease. I think that you should choose three people that you like that you're kind of wobbling back and forth on of like, are we gonna hook up? Are we not? And just like take those three off the table or two.
Whoa.
Just take them off the table romantically and just be like, these two people are going to be my fucking friends. And then you'll just have two fucking friends.
Because do you want to know something?
And that's 3%. Mm-hmm. That's
do you remember
jungle.
The person that we talked about on the last yes. street culture in my life?
Yes. Is he still around?
Well, now we're like friends.
No, and it's you're like, not allowed to be friends with him.
Actually, but he has the most disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the...
He has a serious illness.
He's in hospice.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
There's no saving him, which is what hospice is.
Yes. Why, Matt? What are you getting out of that? Yeah. You enjoy hanging out with him?
Yeah. But it's also like in the back of my mind, I have to ask myself, like, am I doing the healthy thing for me or am I trying to be cool? Because something that I do is I tap myself down and I don't say how I'm really feeling so that everyone else feels good. And that is something that like... Bowen and I had a long conversation about this yesterday. Like something I do all the time is something that I'm realizing that I will definitely unpack in therapy is that I don't say when things are really bothering me or when I really want something or when I be so that other people feel good. Like I'm like, and then when I do, it's like,
that's codependent.
I feel nuss about it.
That's codependent.
I think.
Ted, do you know that for sure?
Yeah.
What is that? Wait, what is codependent? What'd you say?
I said that's codependent.
Codependence. Oh.
It's also like what they would call Al-Anon-y. Al-Anon-y. Al-Anon's a program and that...
Yeah, I know what Al-Anon is.
Al-Anon type stuff. Is that what you just said?
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe
generally,
Stargaze.
Generally speaking.
Maybe
Stargaze?
Starboard by Stargazing. And you realize you don't need to impress this person because you've already won.
You're right.
And also...
Right? Isn't it... With me, I have a thing where it's like, I just need to win everyone over in every situation.
Yeah. You have to be like, the star of everything.
Okay. Right? And this is an exercise in the book that she talks about early on. She goes... If you're stressed out about a situation, just for like 20 seconds, 30 at best, best case scenario, 30, imagine yourself being validated by every single person you want validation from, and you're awash in like, they're on their fucking knees telling you how much they love you.
And you're fucking them up their ass.
It's just like people are like truly prostrate wanting to like, please you, and they're telling you how much they think you're great, and then imagine what like just embody that, and then like, I mean, I don't know, and like just quick little thought experiment, and then see how you sort of change. This is the story that's in the book.
Yeah, I just want people to like me, and so then I just like truly like drop out, and I'm like, oh, everything's fine, even though everything's like not necessarily fine.
What's the story in the book?
This is the story in the book. She has this DEA agent friend. Normally, DEA agent.
I know, sorry, that is a crazy.
Sorry.
She has this D'Angelo.
DEA.
She has a DEA agent friend.
Okay. Drug Enforcement Agency?
Yes. Who will normally kick down a door and stick up a gun and be like, everybody, get on the fucking floor, right? Yeah. And then people run away and people are like, it's such an aggressive environment.
Yeah.
She has this one agent friend who will find a way into this drug den, calmly walk in, find a place to sit down in front of whatever person. Mm-hmm. And then the people are like, who the fuck is this? But calm, like no one's alarmed. Everyone's just like, wait. Okay, there's a person there who's just very like confidently sitting down.
Yeah.
Okay, weird, but I guess this is just normal. And then the agent, after like some moments go by, will get up and go, come with me. And then they go with him. They're like, okay.
Oh my God.
And they're like, oh, I guess you're telling me, so I have to. And like, his whole thing is like, I walk into the situations calm as hell, pretending like I've already, pretending like they will do whatever I say.
Yes. And then he arrests them?
And then he arrests them.
Oh my God, that's me. That's a trick. I don't like that. If he does me, I would be pissed.
So I need to enter my social situations feeling that
powerful,
that relaxed.
Like, validated already.
I know, but it's so crazy too because I receive nonstop validation and the well is just like endless.
Deep. Bottomless.
Bottomless.
Yeah, yes. That's another thing is like, what do you do when like that's already, that shouldn't be a problem, but it still is.
This is what I think about all the time. Whenever I get worked up over if one person feels like they don't like me is like, or when I get stressed out about trying to get someone to like me, it's just like, there's no one person who can make or break you. There's always another person. And it's like, so it's like, who cares? You have that.
You're right.
That's the best thing I was able to do in the last year was like truly stop caring so much if people liked me or not.
Yeah, I still am dealing with that.
You're actually very good at that.
Yeah.
You are very
sometimes
good
I'm
at
like,
that.
Be nice. And he's like, I don't give a shit.
I know. And is that my disease though? I should care more.
I actually think it's amazing. And it like makes me, I'm just like, you're so yourself in every situation that you're never bending for someone. I think that's like the most attractive thing
Okay, you're attracted to me.
Yeah, I'm, yeah.
Yeah,
like when Pat came in today, he was not feeling in a good mood, and he didn't even want to pretend it was a hello situation. It was, I'm not in a good mood.
Right, but I was like, it was like, if this is going to last a second, then I'll be fine.
Yeah, and you're actually, right. And you also, you knew you'd be safe with us.
I knew I'd be safe, or so I thought.
No, it's cameras
stop, rolling.
Because you know what?
What?
I actually respect that.
Thank you. Okay.
And you don't ever change a thing.
Okay. I think it's especially nice because in this, say it with me.
Business. Or even industry, or even town.
Or even in this town. A lot of people are trying to do that all the time. And so to be able to hold your own is a good quality. And I want to be more like that. Yeah, because even once I win, whatever person in question I'm trying to win over, once I win them over, it loses meaning to me, and then I need a new one.
You're
it's
right.
It's literally like I found out like a couple weeks ago, I was texting because I was debating, but I was just like feeling overwhelmed. Like I was feeling like I need to go home and write, or I need to go home and sleep or something. And I was supposed to do this show like way uptown, and I was like, I just think I have to bail on the show, and I did bail on the show. And then I found out recently that the people were like mad, and they were like, yeah, Pat's like famous for bailing, and they were like pissed off, but I don't care. I'm like, I did bail on that show because I was like, this isn't going to be a show I do tonight because I can't do it. And now, and I was thinking on the bus how like 2 years ago it would have been driving me crazy that I pissed those people off. Yes. But it's just like, yeah, that's what I need to do that night. And sorry.
My therapist does that all the time where she's like, would you have done this 2 years ago? And I would be like, no. And that's, oh, wow, I've like progressed as a human being.
My therapist is moving to LA.
No.
I know.
Congratulations to
Matt,
her.
Connect.
I'll take her.
Yeah, take her.
Oh,
on.
That'd be good. No. Do you like her?
Yeah, I do. It's funny. I do. I've bailed on her the last like 6 times, but I do like her.
Well, you're famous for bailing.
Famous Pat, famous for bailing.
Famous for something.
Point is, I get what you're saying.
Yes. And my thing is, like, when you say that you bailed on that show, like, and whenever Bowen bails on shows, and you have a tendency to, like, at least ask me if you should bail on shows. I always say, like, no, it's inconsiderate.
It's very...
Like, to me, it's like... Like, to me, it's like... And with you, it's... For a little while there, it was a pattern.
Yes,
and I was like, you will develop a rightfully earned reputation as someone who is unreliable if you keep doing this.
Yes, yes.
So I guess that would be, like... Yeah, for me, it's like... If something you don't care about.
That's a fair consequence. But it's not like I was like... I was just like, I can't do this tonight, so I'm not going
to. Right.
And that was just what it was that day.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
It's tricky for me. You know what I mean? Like,
I've been bailing too, and I'm trying to say no to more to make room for the stuff I should be working.
And that's it. Yeah.
But I'm in the transition where I've said no, and I haven't yet replaced it, and so I'm having kind of this like waiting around.
Right.
Well, saying no is the replacement, though. Right? Is replacing bailing?
I think.
I think that it's one thing if it's like. I look at it as the same as, like, if you get caught in a bus and it's like, I can't get there. It's like, today it's not going to work out for me. And I try to be, I'm like, next time I'm going to be more discerning about how much I say yes to because I overpromise.
I think that is, like, a big thing that, like, I remember deciding to do. It was like, I think we all go through that thing where it's like, in this town, industry, community, place, we say, like, I'm going to do a lot of stuff because it's all available to me to do. And then you overbook your schedule and it's like psycho. And then you're like, I don't want to do any of it. And you go in and you do 40%. And then you just start to say no to more things. And you give yourself the space to do shit that you actually want to do. And everything gets better.
Can I ask? I feel like Bowen will have a good answer for this. What do you think is the most sophisticated, kind way to say, I can't because I'm too busy? Or because I'm making time for other things.
Oh my God. First of all, thank you for thinking that I would have a good answer.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have a good answer.
Really? But you have so much going on.
Well, this is. I have not developed a sophisticated way around this.
We need like a good phrase.
But what I say is, I'm out. I'll be traveling.
That's what I do.
That's a lie.
Yeah, but also. It like nips it in the bud. It's like, it's not out of like malintent. It's just like, I'm telling you in this way that will make sense to you that I don't want to do your show.
I think you could literally, Catherine, can just say, I'm sorry, I'm not available for the show. I'm a little overextended that week.
Overextended.
There you go.
So then say, I'm not available that date, but thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. And that always is it.
And the, yet, I've been saying no to some things. And now I have nothing going on. But that'll change. That'll change.
It'll change. It'll change.
Anyways, don't include that. It's boring. Okay. Let's answer.
Let's
have
let's
we all
emails.
Have we all come down with more diseases after the conversation? Or we feel we've at least.
I feel I have the same amount of diseases as I started.
I was diagnosed with a disease, which is that I have developed a rightful reputation.
You?
No, you did, and I said you were developing, which you were. And tell me I'm wrong.
I don't feel that way.
But that's
about
a trade-off. That's a decision that you make. It's like,
yes,
I don't know.
Yes. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And this is honestly, this
no,
is
because actually, I am someone who lies in more. I'm more in line with Sudi with stuff like this, where it's like you do your commitments.
Of course.
I actually was with Sudi actually the morning of that show when I was like, should I bail? And she was like, you should bail on this.
Well, then she's changed, and I am no longer her friend.
Wow, I don't think you fit into N anymore, Matt.
What is that?
I don't think you fit into N anymore.
I don't fit into N anymore. I'm more L.
Can we actually call N new?
Let's read some emails.
Yeah.
This is from Sexless in Tulsa.
Okay.
Dear Cat, Pat, Bone, and Matt. My best friend and I are notorious prudes and are tired of being the perennial fag/hag couple invited to places. Mm. So we decided to take matters into our own hands and possibly mouths, butts, and other orifices. Thus, Dick Packed 2019 was born. We've got to sexually interact with 5 dicks we have never seen before. Before 1/1/20, January 1st, 2020, and we are currently in April, the month of our Lord, fruitless and failing miserably. What advice do you have for 2 prudes who aren't necessarily sex negative, parentheses, but proud of Pat, who is in a gorge relation, but you? Aren't good at getting the D? Lila is sexless in Tulsa.
Well, Pat's only seeing 1 dick right now.
I'm only seeing 1 dick.
I wonder if they're going out together too much.
Mm, right.
Yeah, me and Catherine run into that.
Pat and I have had some tricky times. If we both wanted to get some, it's not going to happen. I don't think it's a good combo.
You have to invest in 1 person.
I think for me, like, I need to call the girls.
It's got to be the girls.
It sometimes has to be the girls.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and the girls, if you're gay, that means you're gays.
Yeah.
That is what that means. That is the translation.
I think, or even if I've gone out like alone, like when I famously met the bisexual, made me squirt 3 times and ghosted me, like I was alone at a bar.
I think that literally you just have to be forward. If you're in a gay club space, you have to go in knowing 80% of the people here are trying to fuck or at least suck.
Yeah.
And you have to go, and then you just can't be the person. Like, I'm someone who, like, there's always, like, a Shea Lounge type device at a gay club. I'm like, I'll sit on this and see if anyone comes up to me. Then
they sit there for five.
No, they don't. In my experience, they don't. And then, like, but if you're the person who will go up to someone, like, rub their chest, like, you will go home with someone.
Yeah.
And you can't be that picky unless you can be.
You have to.
In which case, congratulations.
I would say that if you lower your defenses and are around other people with their defenses lowered, aka maybe this means if this is what you want to do, have a couple drinks, loosen yourself up, and you put yourself in a spot where everyone else is being this way, or if you want to dance a little bit and you go to a dance place and don't even drink, just dance, and that lowers your defenses a little bit, just being in a place where that is a breeding ground for this kind of thing, it will happen.
Well, Matt, you're someone who can be aggressive in those spaces as a compliment.
I can be aggressive because can you remember?
Oh, yes. Matt was aggressive with me.
I was aggressive with Pat. I pulled him right onto the dance floor and gave it to him.
After an hour and a half of chatting about Long Island cross country.
It was about 15 minutes.
That's whatever. So crazy to me. Okay. I would say for the gal, too, I think I've tried many of the apps, and I think the old tried and true is Tinder. I think you should set up. It's kind of a lot of admin work, but you need to try and maybe set up a few. Try and get some good matches. Try and set up a few dates. Because some people might cancel because people are flaky on it.
Famous
but at least when
that.
You come into a
some
Tinder date,
be famous for that.
You know, you're well earned. When you come into a Tinder date, you know sex is on the table.
Yes.
So it's like, it's just like a little easier. And then have, 2 to 3 drinks and touch their arm and you'll probably be fucking.
Yeah.
In
that's
no
the
time.
Thing. Just honestly, if anyone touches me even a little bit on a date, oh I'm like, it makes a huge difference. Like if I'm on a date with you and there's no touching, forget it.
But if you
touch me even a little bit, I will come 95% of the way. So know that there are me's out there. Just give them a little bit of that.
Can I say something that happened when Pat and I went to Rosemont?
Yeah.
Did I tell you this when it happened?
Yeah, but by the time you got to Rosemont, I was so tired I could not form sentences.
Fine. this thing, because I just started reading this dang book.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just try this thing on for size and let me just go to the bar and order a drink. And normally I'll go up to any bar in any specifically in a queer space, and I'll be like, God, I'm just going to be ignored. I'm invisible. Mm. Like, they're not coming to me. They're intentionally not doing this. Why are they're racist? Like my mind fully starts to spin out. But I was like, let me just try this time. Uh-huh. Where I'll walk up to the bar, pretend like I've already won, and then I just like fucking propped my elbows onto this bar and just like chilled, wasn't looking at my phone, and was just like, oh, this is nice. He'll come to me eventually.
Yeah, the bartender.
And then he did, and then I got my drink, and then but the vibe I gave off.
And he fucked you on the bar.
Well, the vibe I gave off was such that I turned around and this cute guy was like, hey, I like your glasses. And then I was like, oh, no, he goes, I like your glasses and I like your tote. And I was like, literally I go.
Literally I go.
The tote was literally the optimal.
Literally I go. Literally I go. I walk away because I'm like, I have a drink for my friend Sam. And I literally go. read the tote. I go, oh, thanks. It was free. And I walk away.
Wow.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was beautiful.
Did you hook up?
No, but I'm saying.
Okay, like, so that's not answering.
But it sets it up so that you invite that kind of stuff to come to you, where you're just like, because literally what she says in the book is thirsty people don't get fed.
That
like,
was, hung,
you know, like, that's so true.
That was my problem when I was out on the streets, was I like wanted it so bad but was unwilling to do anything about it. And then like I was in constant situations where I could literally just touch someone's arm and either hook up or know that they didn't want to hook up and move on. But
exactly.
I wouldn't do that. So you just can't be me.
Also sexless, like...
If you don't have sex, you just can't be me.
Make the pact looser. Five dicks before 1-120, like...
It's very American Pie.
So American Pie. It's so strict. I mean, don't avail yourself to, like, any timeline like that. It's
already
saying
they want to see five dicks in a year?
Five dicks in a year. Doable, but also like
Catherine's rolling her.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm not. I haven't done anything.
But I'm saying you don't have to, like, don't even put a number to it. Don't put a quota. Like, don't do it. Don't worry about it. Don't give a shit.
I think a number is fine. It gamifies it. It makes it fun.
I can't wait to get my hands on this book. I need that. Because I've been feeling like when I was really having a good few months and killing it, I feel like boys were coming out every which way. In the past few weeks, I've been like,
Yeah, but Catherine, it's only been a couple weeks.
You don't know.
But
literally, I go.
Literally, I go. But you read the book and then you hear, I hear Tammy Sager and I'm like,
oh that's
bless.
Perfect.
I love Tammy.
Okay, that was sexless.
Okay, I hope you're sexful next time we talk.
Okay, this one's kind of hot. It's a little long, but it's hot.
Okay. Wow. I love that. I can't believe how horny I'm going to be up
when
by
I was
the
in
end
college,
of this long
when
one.
I was a young girl in college even.
Yeah.
I would go on a website that was called Literotica.
And oh, me
read,
too.
And
me
I would,
too.
I would read gay porn stories on Literotica and I would
I'd read group.
I wouldn't read group.
I'd read group.
What was
stories.
Group? Oh, group stories. I love
I
that.
I used to read season 2 American Idol fanfic.
Wait, Matt and Bowen, can I take a temperature here? Do you guys want group?
No.
I don't want group either.
I recently had
group?
My one experience with group was awful. And this is the thing. It was all Asians and I still felt invisible.
Oh no.
And then but then recently I had a 3 and it was fun.
Yeah, I've had 1-3 and no other group.
You've had a 3.
Why do you ask me?
To be it was a boy 3.
No. Ask
Catherine if she likes group.
Oh, do you,
because you
I feel like we've talked group to death, me and you.
No, I feel like we barely scratched the S.
Catherine, look at me. And I mean this from the bottom of my soul. Do you want group?
Why? And I've had group once.
I know, if 3 is group.
With
and
W. Why?
With 2 M's.
Oh.
That
and
I met at a taco
Irish.
Stand
and
in Williamsburg.
That's
and they
age.
Were Irish.
That's age.
Wait. And then it happened right after that?
Let me set the scene. Yeah. It's 2015, the year of me. I'm walking home from some show like Over the 8. I'm absolutely hammered and horny. I know.
I agree. Truly
but
I
not
agree.
Sad, actually. Not sad.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And these guys are like, do you know a good bar to go around here? And I was like, oh, yeah, there's one down the street. And I'm like, it's fun. They're like, do you want to come with us? And I'm like, yeah. And then one goes to the bathroom, start making out with one. Other goes to the bathroom, start making out with the other. And then I'm just like, let's go back to my bed.
Wait, seriously? And then I have a question. Yeah. When you hooked up with them, did they ever do anything with each other?
No. And actually, they got so weirded out that one of them sort of left towards the end.
the better one or the worst one?
The one with the smaller dick left.
Did you talk about this last time where you did a 3 and then one guy just goes, I'm out.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have two stories like that, sadly.
No. That was just yes. Beautiful.
It was gorgeous. So I'm open to group.
Right. Can I read the hot one?
Read the hot one. Do you want to read that? No, you can read it. But just don't say the name.
Ooh, can't wait to hear this. Well,
this next person's name is.
This is
Kalia.
So Kalia. Literally, they go. Hey, and seek treatment, boys. Thank you. So I am a straight guy. I seek immediate treatment for that. Or at least I thought I was. Ooh, this just got joicy. Okay. I thought I was until I started dating a guy. Okay, now you're seeming gay to me. I started dating a guy I met at college. I just turned 20. I really like him, but no one except our mutual friends know that we are dating. I'm a bit reluctant to fully come out just because everyone who knows me knows that I have dated girls in the past. That's all of our stories. Besides coming to terms with my own sexuality, the guy I'm seeing feels like I'm ashamed of him or something. Aww. But I'm not. I just want to make sure this is going to be something long term before I start telling everyone I know, especially if we break up and I have to not only come out but also explain my sexuality if we break up. Especially if we break up and I have to not only come out but also explain my sexuality if we break up. Okay, that was not my fault. That was Kalia's, but I love Kalia. I am especially nervous to tell my family, specifically my mom. It's always the moms are harder. Mm. Kalia, know that it's always the moms are harder.
I don't know about that.
I don't think that's true for
me at
all.
That's my story and that's someone I know's story.
They just totally disregard the completely public and well-trod narrative that it's hard for a son to tell his father that he's gay. But okay, it's past his friend's story.
Finish Kalia's story.
I am especially nervous to my family, specifically my mom. My family has said numerous homophobic things around me, and I'm not sure what to expect from the reaction-wise.
Catherine yawns into the mic. This bored bitch.
I know they'd still love me, and I wouldn't be outcast or anything. But I just don't want them to see me differently. Help me, please. I'm desperately seeking treatment.
Okay, so listen, babe.
Oh, they suggest Pablo as their fake name, but I'm sorry, you are Kalia.
You are Kalia.
You're gay now, you're Kalia.
It is very hard to come out of the closet.
Very hard.
Yeah, we sympathize with you. However, you know, you got to be fair to yourself and to the guy you're dating and to, you know, it's the truth. So you're 20 years old. It's about that time. It's time to be brave. And
also, everyone's on their own calendar.
What I will say is that it seems like Kalia is concerned with his family seeing him differently. And like, that's just part of it. I mean, and that's a great thing. And it's sort of the whole point.
Well, I think what Kalia needs to figure out for themselves is if they're GS or B.
I think Kalia also, you should realize that no matter where this particular relationship goes, that doesn't affect your sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying by GS or B.
Yeah, but
it's like, are you going to date another guy after this? Maybe.
He doesn't need to decide that now. He needs to figure out like what he's going to say about the current relationship he's in and what he owes to himself to be truthful, because it could be years of a negotiation about whether he's B. He could not know he's really B or S or G until he's 30 or 40 even. So it's like, how do you feel now? Is it a serious enough guy? Do you like him enough that you want to like tell people about it? If you do, and the relationship is very important to you, I think then you should honor that relationship.
Well, just what kind of relationship do you want to have? Do you want to have one of those ones where you're like, you know, a real relationship and then you have to tell people? Or if maybe you just want something, you're just figuring out, you just want to see right now and that's fine, but then the other guy might not want that and you have to deal with those consequences.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'd be curious to figure out what the other guy's perspective is.
Yeah.
Right. And if you are sensing that he feels that you're ashamed, I don't know, just get to like the bottom belief of what that is. Like, why do you think he thinks you're ashamed? I don't know.
Well, because part of being gay or bisexual is shame. So like you are ashamed.
Yeah.
Listener. Kalia.
Yeah.
Kalia. You are ashamed, and that is part of this. It's about like accepting the fact that you're different and like deciding now whether or not you want to be brave now or later based on how important the relationship is to you.
Yeah, I think do what you want, but know that you will be happier if you just like come out.
Sure.
Catherine, do 5 minutes on this.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.